And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
Thank you to everyone who supports the show and all the shows that we do at the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. If you are not already, you can become a Major Spoilers member by signing up at patreon.com/majorspoilers.
The Major Spoilers Podcast covers news, reviews, and of course, spoilers, and goes into details about the topics discussed. So if you haven't read, listened, or watched the items we talk about, you might want to come back later.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Steven, and you're listening to the Major Spoilers Podcast, the podcast for pop culture and comic fans.
In this issue, Bruce Wayne, fugitive, Spider-Woman, anniversary, future state, not 5G, Nightwing, no longer Rick, Omega Supreme, ripped off. It's your favorite nerds nerding out about nerdery in the mighty Major Spoilers manner with cheddar and gravy on top because Canada does french fries right. So pack up your troubles, roll out any remaining barrels, and let a smile be your umbrella because the Major Spoilers podcast is on the air.
Welcome to issue 897. We are so close to issue 900.
I know.
It's going to be amazing.
Two episodes away.
It's going to be amazing when we hit issue 900 because we'll probably just talk about comics.
But wait, so this will be different?
I've made a very interesting observation about some other websites that may also cover comic books. I'm going to talk about it and share some thoughts and reactions on it. This weekend on the VIP live chat, 1 o'clock PM Central Time for all of our gold level patrons and higher. Find out more at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Also, if you want to hear Ashley talk about her secret job, if you want to hear us talk about bath bombs and old guys nerding out about games, you can hear all of that in the Major Spoilers pre-show. Again, find it at the silver level and higher at patreon.com/majorspoilers.
I have an idea for issue 900.
Well, I can tell you what issue 900 is going
to
be.
A top 900?
No,
it's going to be issue, let's see, that's two away, Hellboy. No, wait, I'm sorry. It's The Eternals by Jack Kirby, volume one. That's what we'll be covering in issue 900. I wonder why we're covering The Eternals on issue 900. Huh.
Well, it can't have anything to do with movies because movies don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
I think that issue 900, we should each speak the language of our people exclusively. Rodrigo should be in Spanish. Ashley should be in French. I'll speak Yiddish. Steven can talk like ish here. And we will all have a wonderful conversation. And I will say to Ashley, donnez-moi la poutine.
Yeah, but see, that's
my daughter's teaching me French.
Yeah, but see, you can't because you just disqualified yourself from the native language that everyone was going to speak. So instead of all of that, let's get to some news. Let's do some news. The big thing that everybody is talking about this week, of course, is DC's Future Slate announcement. Here's how DC describes the event. DC's Future Slate spotlights the world's greatest superheroes in fresh new roles with all new characters taking up their iconic mantles. DC Future Slate State features an incredible array of creative talent combining award-winning writers and artists with new voices from the worlds of TV, movie, and animation. In March 2021, the regular DC title lineup resumes, continuing existing storylines from 2020 and introducing new arcs for the year. In DC Future State, the multiverse has been saved from the brink of destruction, but the triumph of DC's heroes has shaken loose the very fabric of time and space. The final chapter of Dark Knight's Death Metal, on sale January 5th, 2021, brings new life to DC's multiverse, kicking off this glimpse into the unwritten worlds of DC's future. That's added emphasis there at the end. So is this 5G?
Yes.
I'm curious about that.
Yes. This is 5G with the DDO scraped off the top.
Yeah, this definitely feels like a, hey, how can we, you know, salvage the amount of 5G that we already have in the can and also make it feel like something fresh, new, and different?
I will say the thing that I am very excited about, though, is Nicola Scott on Nightwing. Very excited because she has drawn one of the most iconic versions of that character with his booty out, and I can't wait.
We also had a few things to say about Nightwing's booty on this week's Legion Clubhouse, number 85. You can go check that out as well. Yeah, I think the one thing that is most interesting in it is when you look at the next Batman series, the one thing that we kind of were hearing out of 5G was that Luke Fox was going to be Batman, yet all the covers for next Batman don't feature a person of color under the cowl.
No, because it's Damian.
Boo.
Because they're doing everything with Damian that I despise.
Well,
that I've never wanted to see. And look, I get it, right? I get it if you are an executive, if you are not a creative, if you're not a fan of Tim. Like, I totally understand why somebody made that call. But to me, the most interesting thing about this future Trinity is the new Wonder Woman. That would be very cool. And I'm going to declare it right here. And in 3 years, y'all can tell me I'm right. She's going to be a Wonder Woman 3.
Possible.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's got to be her or Nubia, and she's the new hotness. And comic movies never stray terribly far from the modern day if they can avoid it. Yeah. So
true. Yeah, and I'm actually kind of excited about future Wonder Woman. What's her name? Yara Floor?
Can you guys hear the fire alarm that's going off the building across from me?
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
That's all right. As long as the place isn't burning down.
Sorry, if I mute myself and forget to unmute me, just scream at me.
Okay, that's fine.
Ashley!
What were you going to say? Were you going to say, Matthew, about...
I'm actually kind of excited about some of these things. I'm really looking forward to seeing the new Wonder Woman. I'm interested in the whatever they're doing with Legion. And I feel like, for me, the takeaway from this may be better in that, yes, it is a limited event like, you know, Convergence was or, you know, Countdown was. But it's also a limited event like 52 was. It's like a limited event that could be great.
It could be like Countdown.
Countdown's terrible.
I know, but it could be like that. It could be just like that.
But I don't want that.
I don't think anybody wants Countdown. I don't even think DC wanted Countdown, but somehow it was foisted upon them as this great way to save everything that was going on with comics, and it turned out to be a complete turd.
That was Dan DiDio.
Oh, sorry, I'm having some... I'm having some flashbacks there to some horrible, horrible memories that have been uncovered there.
Do you need a moment?
I think I may need it. I was going down here, I was looking at the Wonder Woman stuff. There's Future State Immortal Wonder Woman with Wonder Woman with gray hair.
Right, that's Diana.
Yeah. And then I was looking to see Nubia as the new one. I was trying to see if they said anything else about that, but I don't see anything in the solicitations.
The solicitation actually mentions that it is a Brazilian Amazon named Yara Flor, and that she actually popped up recently in something in the current state, like an annual or something.
Well, so you remember both Flash 750 and Wonder Woman 750 had these really weird ending bits,
right,
which made it felt like, oh, this is going to be the launching point for 5G, right? Because that was going to happen right before pandemic hit, and then everything shut down. So I'm very curious, and that's the one thing that I'm most interested in this, is to see, oh, when you read a Wonder Woman or when you read the Justice League, is it going to bounce off of what we saw in those issue 750s, or are they just going to say that's one of those weird things that someday in the future someone will tell you the story about, but it ain't going to be us, because here's Future State Justice League number one.
Future State.
So that's the thing that I'm interested in. I on the one hand, I can understand that when you part ways with someone, aka fire them, you don't want anything that they are doing being part of what's going forward. This happens at movie studios all the time. You know, a new person comes in and replaces an executive, and instantly all those projects that were on the plate are currently canceled, or the budgets have been taken away, or whatever it is. And so I can see the same thing going on right here. Although the weird exception is Metal Men, which still has two more issues to come out.
Well, you know, that's an ongoing, or a limited.
No, it's a limited. It ends in 12. Yeah.
They were probably halfway in the can, so they're going to finish the run. But as far as Future State goes, there's a thing that happens at DC that we run into where it's like, hey, let's fix the universe. Hey, let's fix the future. Hey, let's fix the multiverse. And we kind of go in cycles. And we just got done fixing the multiverse after having previously fixed the multiverse,
Well, apparently we're going to fix it again in Dark Knights.
Yeah, I'm not mad about this because I literally now have four different images of four different characters all named Batwoman Earth 11. Because the Earth 11 concept has been reset four times in the last 15 years, and each one has a slightly distinctive Batwoman character. But again, not bitter, not filled with rage, not seething with a horrified legume, if you will.
So, Ashley, you're looking forward to Wonder Woman. Matthew, you're looking forward to Wonder Woman. Anything else? Oh, Legion.
Flash?
What's going on with Flash?
The Flash cover seems to have Wally West killing Barry Allen with Jay Garrick and Max Mercury in the background.
And kind of doing the whole Hal Jordan with all the lantern rings on his fingers.
Don't know. I want to see how that goes.
When I see that cover, that's what I think of, is Hal Jordan going crazy with everyone's Green Lantern's rings.
I do like the fact that the Green Lantern series seems to feature Gnort and does not feature Hal Jordan. But if you look at that cover, that's clearly Gnort, Kilowog, and John Stewart.
Green Lantern number one says John Stewart with a team of lanterns. Let's see. Jessica Cruz. Mm-hmm. Yep. Guy Gardner.
Yeah. Yep.
So there you go. You can get all that stuff. You can get all that stuff. I don't know. I'm fine with this. I mean, you know, even if this was and this is the way it will be going forward, I'd be okay with that. I'm sure there would be something good that comes out of that. And if not, it'll all be retconned away, just like Grant Morrison's Action Comics run.
I mean, where's the lie?
No, I mean, like, that's true. But I also find it very telling, very, very telling to kind of keep people at bay that in the announcement, DC specifically says, the DC, let's see, that they will be in March 2021, the regular DC title lineup resumes. So it's basically like, hey guys, bear with us with this. You're still getting a bunch of other DC comics, but this isn't the way it's going to be going forward. We promise. This is just a limited thing. This is what we're doing. And then it's going to be back to business as normal for the rest of you.
It's a don't be scared. We know you hate change.
But here's the thing. You know, out of one of these, well, not out of one of these, there's probably five good ideas coming out of all these books.
And two of them will stick.
I'm going to bet that five of these ideas continue.
Five is a good, generous installment.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
I feel like it's a little sad because it does really, it kind of illuminates the flaw of comics reading these days in that anything that is weird and wild and different is instinctively untrustworthy and bad. I mean, if Barry Allen were relaunched in Showcase number 4 today, DC would give up on it in four issues because the internet would brigade them about it. So, you know, the very characters that people insist now are the one true characters are in fact being reinforced by this negative feedback loop. The company says, we're going to make a change. The fans say, no. The company says, okay, we won't make the change. The fans are like, why don't you ever change anything?
Yeah. Well, I think this
says,
is going to be
gonna make a change.
I think this is going to be really interesting for DC in 2021 because also announced this week from DC was that they were dropping. We already know that they had stopped distributing through Diamond Comic Distributors, and then they were going through USC and Lunar, you know, in this interim. And it looks like in January, Lunar or UCS is no longer going to be distributing DC Comics, and it's just going to be Lunar Comics all the way. So this will also be interesting. And I think the most interesting thing to come out of all of this is never going to turn into a DC beat Marvel or Marvel beat DC, because there's only one site that really dives in trying to figure out which comic sold the most in a particular month. And that's a really good site, comiccron.com. But we can no longer look at Diamond's numbers and see the market breakdown because they don't go through Diamond anymore. So all of this stuff of people going, oh, this is going to be a bad seller or a good seller or any of that stuff, we really won't know actual numbers or even actual percentages as they compare to other comics that were also sold in a particular month. So this is going to be a very interesting, I think 2021, as much as I've kind of been maybe making some snide comments about some of the future state stuff, I think 2021 for DC Comics is going to be interesting, to say the least. I don't think DC is going to close down. I think that they will continue to go strong. AT&T is doing some wacky things right now with all of their stuff. But I think DC is going to come out of this by 2022, and they're going to be really, really strong away from a Diamond system that is going to probably have some more problems going forward. But I think, you know, they have reduced the number of titles that they are shipping, but I think they're going to come out stronger by 2022 than maybe Marvel will.
Yeah, I think that's a prediction that I can definitely see happening. I don't know if I believe or support you 100%, but when it happens and you're right, I'll be like, yep, you called
it. Well, and again, not to, you know, point a finger at Diamond and say, Diamond's going down, ha ha ha. But, you know, if Diamond does go down, that puts Marvel in a bad position because they have no other place to distribute stuff through. DC, on the other hand, yes, they've put all their stuff in the Lunar basket at the moment, but, you know, they've shown that they are able to be flexible and bounce back in times of trouble, especially when the pandemic shut everything down and they still wanted to ship comics. I also think the other thing that you're going to want to watch for, ladies and gentlemen, in 2021, oh, the digital day and date release on the unlimited services. That's what you're going to have to watch for in 2021. That's going to be a big thing. I think Ashley and I are going to talk a little bit more about that on Friday, on Finally Friday, when she comes and sits in on the show this week. Ashley, any other thoughts on future state?
I'm tired of reboots.
It's not a reboot, Ashley. It's just simply a look into the future.
It's a soft boot.
It's a look into the future.
Whatever.
It's a sequel. For Earth 11 Batwomen.
Hey, I'm okay with that. How about
are you though?
How about we get some feedback?
Trying to explain away the TV show. I mean,
oh man, you should read what is it, King Robin, Robin King this week, that Matthew and I are going to do on Tooling Review.
I believe you.
They cover all the different universes in that one.
I don't think I'm going to read Robin King. I think I'm just going to abstain. I'm going to sit with my fingers in my ears and I'm going to hum the Marseillaise.
All right. While we wait for Ashley's alarm to go off, not her alarm, it's another building's alarm.
Just awful.
I know, right?
It's still going.
It'll shut off as soon as the fire department shows up in about 40 minutes.
As soon as the show's over.
This is LA. They ain't showing up. We got to hope that one of the security guards knows how to turn it off.
That's funny. Anyway, we want to hear your thoughts on this, dear listener. Head over to our Discord server. You can find a link in the show notes. You can join a growing group of awesome spoilerites who are all over there sharing cat pics and talking about sports ball and what Kickstarters they're talking about. They are also talking about comic books, of course. And you can go over there and share your thoughts and reactions to future state. And we'll read it too. And maybe some other people will as well. So what are you waiting for? Head over to our Discord server and join the rest of us. Join us.
One of us.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of, Matthew, if you want even more access to secret sections of our Discord server, when you become a patron over at patreon.com/majorspoilers, you can also get access to the Dueling Review Show live every week. Ooh.
You get access to Steven and I yelling. Ha ha. It's awesome.
Oh, it's not really yelling. You guys hear the show. So there you go. Yeah. Hey, let's do some reviews. Let's start with a new comic that is out today or Tuesday, depending on when you're listening to this. Matthew, what have you got from us from DC Comics?
Nightwing number 74. It is the wrap up of both the Joker War, sort of, kind of, maybe sort of, and the end of the Rick, I've been shot in the head and now I'm a douchebag era of Nightwing. Richard Grayson, as you know, was shot in the head by the Cagey Beast and suffered brain damage and amnesia and has been now wandering around Bloodhaven for, gosh, probably 25 issues now, calling himself Rick and being a real hard case and working with a bunch of people who are actually running around as Nightwings. This issue ends all of that. It comes out of the end of Joker War, and it starts with, honestly, a really sweet moment where Dick Grayson has returned home to Gotham, and the first thing that he does is get a visit from Wonder Girl and Tempest, who want to make sure he's okay and hang out with him. So they're going to go have some beers.
Nice.
I, Yeah, it's a really, really lovely. And the thing about it, and I don't necessarily always do this correctly, I think we need to make sure that people know and call out the art in this book. Travis Moore, Rowan Cliquet, this is amazing art. Donna looks wonderful. And aside from a weird decision to have them both wearing their costumes under their clothes that they're wearing, it's so sweet. It's such a nice sequence. They even joke about how the three of them should go get pizza and beer and go visit the kids at Titan's Tower for old time's sake. At which point, you know, somebody points out, Donna points out that they're underage, so we can't have beer. And then we cut through basically Gotham. We see Dick working with Batgirl, trying to address the situation there because he doesn't want to be Nightwing again yet. And of course, the KG Beast has just found out that Nightwing is not dead. So he's getting razzed by his, I don't want to say friends, colleagues in a bar. So he has to murder them because he's the KG Beast. There's a really, really interesting sequence. And Dan Jurgens writes an interesting Batman, where Batman and Dick, who is not yet Nightwing again, are working in Gotham, and Batman literally manipulates a fight to end up where he has hung the Nightwing costume up and basically manipulated, rather than say to his, you know, his essential son, hey, kid, let's have a talk about why you're not putting your suit back on again. He manipulates a fight to drag them across Gotham City and end up right there where he's hung the Nightwing costume up as a gift. And I'm just like, this man goes to such lengths to not have to just talk to his family.
I do podcasts Batman 7 days a week.
I know. It's a beautiful, and you're also a Batman fan.
I learned from the best.
So in 20 years, when you end up striking a fight across Hayes so that the boy can find his clothes hanging from a rack.
I'm going to teach him right. I'm going to teach him how to wash his own clothes. He doesn't need a butler.
Well, the butler's dead, remember?
Oh, no.
Bane killed Alfred. And Alfred's ghost does appear in this issue briefly. I don't know if it's a real ghost, but it's the DC Universe, home of the Spectre, so it might be. And as the issue comes to an end, we do finally see Team Nightwing about to get killed in the field because they're way out of their depth. And boom, in comes Dick with his Escrima sticks and his wonderful bottom to kick butt and show his and smack people down and tell Team Nightwing to hang it up. You guys could get hurt. And also, this arc of the book is over now and we have a new writer. That felt a little forced to me, honestly. But all in all, this whole book is great up until the very end when they scare me. Because part of the reason he's afraid to be Nightwing again is because he has a new girlfriend that he loves. And she knows that he's Nightwing. And he's like totally into this girl.
And she's going to turn into the next tarantula.
No, she's not going to turn into the next tarantula. I'm afraid she's going to turn into the next Alex stuck in a refrigerator. Because guess who shows up on her doorstep at the end of the issue, mad because he didn't successfully kill Nightwing enough the last time?
KG Beast.
Oh, got it in one. Well played, Steven. Genre savvy.
Yeah. Also, I pay attention.
All in all, though. Also, yes. What's it? Did you say something? Did I say something?
Yes, you were going to tell us how many slices of meatloaf you would give this.
Okay. I would say 3 slices of meatloaf, Nightwing 75, above average. The art is really, really subtle, really nicely done. There are some transitional storytelling issues that bug me. There are some moments where I'm just like, no, and that ending just frightens me so much. It frightens me that they might have KG Beast just kill somebody to wrap up all of the old plot lines and get us into a new era of Nightwing, but they haven't done it yet. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Double-sized issue, $6. If you're willing to spend that on a Nightwing story, there are Nightwing stories that are not nearly this good. So, you know, worth the price of admission up to a point.
Hey, here's a little heads up for something I'm going to say on this week's Dueling Review. Don't ever spend $6 for a comic book. Meanwhile, over on the Marvel Universe, Spider-Woman number 5 is out this week. This is, you know, this is also, Matthew, the 100th issue of Spider-Woman.
Nice.
Apparently, I guess.
Since 1979, this is the 100th issue of a book entitled Spider-Woman.
Yes, that is, that's the way they're playing on it. But don't think that you're going to get anything, you know, anything special, that this is going to be a special issue that's going to celebrate 100 appearances or anything like this. No, this is wrapping up the Spider-Woman and her family storyline, where she's trying to save her niece from the same crippling disease that she suffered from without going cray cray or without getting the spider problems. And in this issue, we find out that she has to fight the clone of her dead mother. And the person who hired her, I think, is actually her brother. And somebody else shows up, and a lab blows up around everybody's head, and there's a lot of fighting and punching. And boy, when Jessica Drew's mother gets all injected with the secret serum, she gets ugly. And there are some ugly, I mean, not ugly as in this is bad art, because Perez and I think that's who is the artist on this one, just does a wonderful job of showing creepy, distorted features, but it is creepy and distorted, and it's kind of hard to look at sometimes just because of the amount of drool and body horror stuff that's going on some of these panels. I would say about half, I don't want to say maybe half this issue, about a third of this issue is a nice choreographed fight scene between Spider-Woman and her cloned mother. I'm not sure who all the players are. Matthew and I read the first issue of this on Dueling Review a couple of months ago, and this is the conclusion of that. I'm not sure who all the players are. I think that it ended okay if you're a fan of this. It really felt, I don't know, it felt weird to read this, because it just felt like it was going so far out on a limb to try to keep you reading page after page, that at times it felt almost too comical to be taken seriously. And I know that seems harsh, but as I'm reading this, I'm like, what is going on? I'm literally laughing, going, what is going on? Even when you read the inside front cover where they tell you previously in Spider-Woman, it just, even that read like, this is ridiculous. No one's going to believe this kind of thing. And it just keeps going. It's like they crank Spider-Woman up to 11, literally, in this issue when she gets injected with another shot of the spider serum. The art is really interesting. The story is okay. I guess this is a nice wrap up to this arc, because you know what's going to happen next, Matthew. Spider-Woman and Captain Marvel heading into space.
Space Marvel.
Yeah, because apparently that's where the answers lie.
Well, of course, always.
Yeah.
Turns out her mom was an alien.
Not in this, she wasn't. She's definitely a clone.
Oh, wait, maybe I'm thinking of Captain Marvel's mom being an alien.
Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, it's an okay issue. I give it 3 slices of meatloaf out of 5. I don't know if I had, maybe if I'd read the other 3 issues in between 1 and 5, maybe it would make a little bit more sense, but really, I don't think it would have, to be honest. And I don't think I would have a different opinion of this issue when I got to the end. 3 slices of meatloaf out of 5. I think that is fair. I think many of you will probably enjoy this. If you like to see some touching moments where a mom has to look at her kid on the other end of a computer and say, I'm going into space now, maybe I will never see you again, then this is the issue for you. If you want to see some mommy-daughter issues get played out with punching and fighting and buildings blowing up, man, this issue has got you covered there as well. So there you go. That's Spider-Woman number 5 out this week from Marvel Comics. We are in the middle of election season. There's a thing here in the United States where we're going to hopefully elect a new president in a couple of weeks. Actually, the voting's going on now for many of us.
And I voted yesterday.
I have my ballot sitting upstairs. I need to do it. But there are a bunch of things that people are doing online where they are trying to raise awareness about getting out and voting. And one of the things that I actually checked out this week was the West Wing special from Aaron Sorkin there on the HBO Max. Ashley, what did you think about this thing?
So I'm a slave for Aaron Sorkin. That's not a great phrase. I shouldn't be saying that. But I love Aaron Sorkin. Aaron Sorkin writes something, I will watch it. I also watched Trial of the Chicago 7, but turns out that's been out for like a month. So I didn't talk about that this week. I also talked about that on the pre-show. Please watch that. It's really good. And I am living with someone who is obsessed with the West Wing. And so the minute this dropped, we were like, well, we're watching this now. People are not familiar with the West Wing. You have nothing better to do right now. I highly recommend binging it. I think it's still on Netflix. And for a lot of people, particularly leftists and liberals, that show, right, was sort of a watershed moment. And what's eerie about it is even though it was cast by... or the cast was populated with a lot of people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. There's only one person who has passed away from the main cast, and that was John Spencer, who played Leo McGarry. And so for this election special, they have gone back and they've done a stage reading of Hartsfield Landing, which is a very iconic episode from the original run of Aaron Sorkin's West Wing, where they talk about the first place where the votes come in their version of the United States. And Leo is a big part of that, and he's not around anymore. And so through the magic of the internet and agents, Sterling K. Brown plays the role of Leo, which is very neat. Because, again, if people are unfamiliar, Leo is the chief of staff. And in the show was airing, he was a peer of President Bartlett's, and played by Martin Sheen. And obviously Sterling K. Brown is much younger than him. And so the episode is great, right? Because it's a really well-written episode. Everyone's on their A-game. All of these actors have progressed, and like they're so good, and they so easily slip back into these characters. And then there's Sterling K. Brown's Leo, and he plays it. You know, if you're familiar with Sterling K. Brown's work, particularly from something like This Is Us or American Crime Story, it's very much in that vein. It is like Sterling K. Brown doing dramatic leading man, which is cool because he freaking rocks at that. But it is also cool because it is so different from what John Spencer did. Like, his Leo is a much more don't mess with me. I would have put an expletive in that, but Steven likes to keep this family friendly. So there's a couple scenes where he's confronting people, Chinese ambassadors, and he's like really powerful and really interesting, and you kind of get shades of what we see in him in the opening scenes of Black Panther there. The weird thing about this special is that it is a staged reading. So they are on a theater in downtown LA, where I actually went and saw The West Wing Weekly with most of these people last year. So that's kind of eerie.
Yeah.
And they are doing like a play version of this. Like, when Charlie has to walk from one office to the other, he walks to the back of the stage. There's a little fake hallway set up, and then he walks in through a fake door into Alice and Janney's office. Like, it's so cool how it's shot. It's so cool how it's staged. It is like, not only is it like obviously great writing, great acting, it is such a case for great designing and like great theatrical design and great like a great DP and a great eye for shooting. And you kind of get lost in the fact of what a beautiful piece of art this is. And you're like, dang, they could like take this on the road and like this could be a show. And then it's actually interspersed instead of commercial breaks because this is HBO Max. Now there's a dog barking outside. Good Lord. He also enjoyed the West Wing special. There are PSAs from the cast to get out and vote. And that I thought was odd because the special was created in conjunction with When We Vote, which is an organization to get people to go out and vote. But I feel like most people watching The West Wing, you know, I don't think you watch that show if you're not politically minded or not interested in politics or engaging in the exercise of voting and being informed. And I don't really think they're going to reach an undecided populace with this. I think it's a lot of people whose politics line up with the politics of the characters.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing that I thought was super weird about it. But I'm not into COVID specials from television shows. I am not into reunions. Thank God the fire alarm just turned off. Sorry to everyone who's made it this far. I said the same thing with DC earlier. Like, I'm not interested in reboots, but I think this really gets it right. And I think it is a really cool counterpoint to the original episode. And of course, it's very timely. And if I haven't turned you off by my liberal politics, I would highly recommend checking it out because I do think it is something that's very, very special. And if you haven't seen The West Wing, then you've got about 8 years of television to catch up on before you go and watch this live. Because I don't know if this works if you're not already familiar with like President Bartlett and his wacky staff.
Yeah. No, I've never seen an episode of West Wing. I'll be honest.
What?
I've never seen. No, political shows just never do it for me.
It feels like such your jam, Steve.
It might be, but I don't know. Maybe it was when it was on. I don't know. I've never seen an episode.
Like, I get it, right? Like, it's tough now. I don't want to watch politics things right now or cop things really either. But
so, you know, you had mentioned that a lot of people have been doing their table readings to do COVID relief or to get people to register to vote or whatever. And I think you said that that you didn't think that this was going to affect anybody who was already going to vote with liberal minded thinking, which is fine. I think you're probably right there. But knowing that there were a whole bunch of people who thought that one of the previous candidates 4 years ago was going to win and they were like, well, I don't need to go to the polls. Is this then one of those things where they're really emphasizing like, no, don't stay home. You really, really need to go to the polls. Is that what their PSAs and stuff were?
And they do directly address like several underrepresented voting communities. Like the West Wing is fully almost 20 years old. And so when it was shot, there were two actors who were young, who are now middle-aged, talking to young people about voting, which is sort of ironic. And then the only two African-American actors are there speaking to the Black community, encouraging them to vote. And it feels weird because the political, like the stuff about getting out to vote is interspersed with like shots of Rob Lowe laughing on set. You know what I mean? Like, it's the thing that even though this is a performance, it is the thing that feels the most scripted of everything that you watch, because everywhere else in the behind the scenes footage and then when they're acting with each other, it feels very natural. So I just think that the PSA segments would have been more effective if this were airing on a network, if this were airing where they might catch someone who is not specifically sat down, opened HBO Max and elected. Like, I don't think, again, anyone's going to click on this who's not already like a big Josh Lyman fan or like really loves Rob Lowe. Like, I don't know how many people they're going to convert with this. That doesn't mean, though, as you say, that it's not worthy and it is not worthwhile, because voting is important. Stating your affiliation is, speaking up for what you believe in is very important. And this is one of the cooler ways that people have chosen to do that.
Yeah. So that's good. I'm glad. I haven't watched any of those that people have done. I think, I don't know, for me, a table read is maybe not as exciting as watching the entire thing. Now, I know you said that this one was more staged, but I'm just thinking about,
you could definitely see Rob Lowe's script fully in several shots.
Yeah, no, but I'm just thinking about all the other table read stuff. Yeah, I'm just thinking about all the other table read stuff where people get together and I'm just like, I mean, if I want to watch The Princess Bride, I'll watch The Princess Bride kind of thing. So that's my thought on that. So, but yes, definitely.
New is always better, though.
What's that, Matthew?
New is always better. A table read of existing material is like the best of new with something that you already love. So it's almost like a reboot of itself.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I didn't watch The West Wing because I was still heartbroken about the loss of Sports Night, which is my favorite Aaron Sorkin joint. But
you're actually a fan. I see you. He shows up at the end of West Wing.
21 years old because it started in 99.
That's true, but it did not end 20 years ago.
Well, no, didn't it 15 years ago? But
anyway,
that's like almost 20.
Hey,
bro,
listeners,
we have all been 15 versus 20. There is a monumental difference. If you are 15 and you didn't know any better, let me tell you, friend, there is a monumental difference between being 15 and being 20. And it's going to hit you real hard when those bills start coming in. Hey,
yeah. So for everybody that says Matthew and Steven fight all the time, wait till Ashley and Matthew fight. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you can find more reviews over at majorspoilers.com. Maybe you didn't like our review of Spider-Woman number 5 or Nightwing 75, or maybe you saw the West Wing special and you took a different take on it. Well, head over to our Discord server and join in the conversation with all the other cool people and share your thoughts on anything that we've talked about in this show, including this week's Bruce Wayne Fugitive Volume 1, which should have just been called Bruce Wayne Fugitive because there's not a second volume after this.
But it is the first issue, so it is still number one.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that, as people know already, especially in a collected trade like this. Anyway, this picks up from Bruce Wayne Murderer that we read a couple of months ago. And it spills across. And this was at a time when all the Bat Family titles were interconnected in some way or other, especially as they started to get into the big event after big event, you know, with Catalyst and No Man's Land. And then I think Murderer was right after No Man's Land, wasn't it?
It wasn't long afterward, yeah, because the end of...
I don't know if it was right after, but yeah, close.
Yeah, but even...
The end of Fugitive actually ties back into No Man's Land.
Yeah, and then even going back to, you know, Nightfall and all those things, how everything ties in. So this is a tale that is spread all across the Batman family of books as they're trying to figure out, well, who actually committed this murder if it wasn't Bruce Wayne, if it wasn't his love interest in here, you know, everything that's going on. And so we get a lot of comic, and eventually
400 pages of comic.
Yeah, 400 pages. So on the plus, it's 400 pages of comic. So you can go pick it up right now through the Amazon affiliate link for only $16. That's a pretty good deal, if you ask me. But I still wonder, was this too long? This was something we talked about the last time where, man, I got to the end of that, of the first one, and I was just like, I feel like they could have taken half the stuff out and trimmed it down, and it would have read a lot better than this. I mean, there's a whole bit where Detective Crispin is following Alfred around because he thinks that Alfred knows what's going on and he doesn't. And then that's the end of the issue. And it's just like, really? Nothing really happened there.
But that's the thing. That's the downside of the interconnectedness that you love in comics, is that you can't take things out of this story because chunks of that story are spread out. So if you read this book, you start with, like, you know, a Batman issue and then a detective and then a Batgirl and then a Nightwing. But the way that the story is written, each of those part of each of those issues,
yeah,
is
you have
part
to put
of
a little,
ongoing storyline.
You have to put a little bit in there. I mean, that's what goes on with all these crossover events, is there's just a little bit in there that makes you want to go out and get this. So it feels like it's, you know, like it's part of it and worth your $2.99 or whatever it was at the time, $1.99 for these comics.
$2.25, I believe.
Wow. But I wonder, yeah, was this still too long?
Yes.
Absolutely. Ashley, too long?
Yes.
Ashley's on mute, but I'm going to guess she's going to say yes.
when we talked about Fugitive, I'm so sorry if that was very loud. I think I was the only one who liked it because I really like Super Dick Batman. And like, yeah, that is all this is. This is like Super Dick Batman.
Well, but it's also interesting too, right? Go ahead and finish what you were going to say.
I was just going to say, so for me, and also I have a lot of nostalgia for like the point in my life and how I felt about comics when I was reading that versus now. So,
well, no, because this was right when
really
Tim was the new
enjoyed,
hotness.
Exactly. I really enjoyed this, but like, is this as a collection too long? Yes. Could it be split into two volumes? Absolutely. Is there a good place to split it into two volumes?
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. No,
because
I think you had to do
like
it
what
like
you guys
this.
Are saying, right? It's these disparate issues that like, yes, tie together, but they definitely don't always read like they're serving an overarching narrative.
Mm-hmm. So
because they're really not.
But there is a bigger story that goes on here where when we last left Batman, he was like, Bruce Wayne is no longer. He was the fake. I am Batman. I am the only thing that ever
hit Dick Grayson in the face.
This time, though, as these stories play out, especially when Batman has to go and meet this old dying detective that was on the scene when his parents were murdered, we start to see a come around of, well, you know, maybe Bruce Wayne is really important in this world of Gotham City, as it plays into Gotham City, as it relates to the people that he's made connections with. And then by the end, we find out that this whole thing really wasn't about Batman at all. This whole thing was about Bruce Wayne and how Bruce Wayne ticked off Lex Luthor during the whole No Man's Land thing. So in the end, Batman has only Bruce Wayne to blame for this, but he also has to realize that, yeah, Bruce Wayne is a part of me. Bruce Wayne is a part of all of this, and I can't just cast him aside. So if nothing else comes out of this, you do get to see this 400-page slow turning of the ship as Batman comes to the realization that that Bruce Wayne is something of value.
And that's the thing. I mean, this was, I think, the creative and honestly, the editorial team's way of addressing that question of, is Bruce Wayne just a mask for Batman?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer that they came to is no, not really. And I like the thought process that both sides of Bruce's persona are necessary, are vital, are separate and distinct, but equally important. And the fact that this, after, you know, 300 pages of murderer, where Batman is like, I don't need Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne sucks.
Also, you're like, yes, Bruce Wayne is a murderer. Fact. Period. Yeah. End of story.
But you get to the end of this and they're like, but Bruce Wayne is necessary for Batman to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's a good message, and it's a message that thematically and tonally does not come through in the story. And it's almost an informed moment at the end where they're like, we've decided this is true after you've read 700 pages of story that kind of undermines that. But well, don't mind all of that.
Yeah, but as Stan Lee said, as Stan Lee never worked for DC. But as Stan Lee
worked for DC.
Yeah, he did the Stan Lee.
Just Imagine series.
Yeah, Just Imagine. But Stan Lee said, I want the illusion of change, right? So at the end,
that's Marvel to a T,
right? In the end, we are right back where we started. Yes. But it's the journey and the friends we met along the way and discovered that Kane was the real murderer and that Cassandra has to come face to face with her abusive father and then finds a new father in Batman and Bruce Wayne. And all is well with the world because we know what her birthday is, February 26th.
The insane armored cultists we met along the way and actually let it be Batman for a minute, but are still around and killing people are the real treasure all along.
No, I mean, I think that, in a nutshell, that's it, right? We need this illusion of change. We went on an incredible journey. You know, Azrael was never going to replace Batman permanently. It was all there so that we could do a thing.
Never.
It was all there so they could do a thing. And in the end, Batman gets some magical healings. And he's back, and Azrael shows up in this doing, you know, literally no reason for Azrael to be in this book.
But the reason he's in there is because Azrael, Agent of the Bat, tied into this storyline.
Yep.
Briefly, about three pages of that issue, but the whole issue is in here because otherwise it'll never be collected.
Yep. Yeah, and which, for good reason.
Yeah, that is the downside. That's, you know, we've talked about Legion of Superheroes back in the day having four issues per month, and they numbered them so you know the order to read them in. Mm-hmm. Batman did this as well.
Yes.
When you collect those, whether you collect individual issues or trades, it makes for this almost overwhelming sort of thought process of there's so much of it.
Yeah, no, and there's, that's
400 pages of this, and if we didn't collect it all, it didn't make sense.
It's great if you're, which nobody's doing right now, and they're right, if you're going to take a long plane ride somewhere.
Yeah.
Or if you're stuck inside and can't leave for, you know, reasons.
Yeah.
Like, this will definitely keep you tied up.
No, I was
If you love seeing Scott McDaniel's art transition into Ed Brubaker's art transition into, good Lord, who drew that Batgirl issue?
Phil Noto did some stuff in here, which was really nice to see.
Yeah.
The art, I would say, well, it's very different and it can be jarring to like jump between. I think the art is mostly very good.
Yes, 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 yes. I would agree with you.
Yeah. McDaniel does some of his best work.
Going back to the chapter numbers on the books, I always enjoyed that with what Legion did. But I remember that's what they did with Nightfall. That's what they did with all the Bat books for
and
a time. They did that with the Superman family too, where they had the crest in the corner and they tell you which one you were supposed to be reading in that series. They all did them. The biggest problem, especially with something like Bruce Wayne Fugitive or especially Nightfall, is how do you store those? Because for a while I was like, well, I must collect all of the Nightfall books together. And so I have those in sequential reading order.
Them's some big books too.
I know, but then it's like, okay, then when you're going through and you're cataloging your individual issues and you get to Catwoman and you go from Catwoman 26 to Catwoman 28, you're like, oh my gosh, am I missing a Catwoman 27? And then you have to think, oh, where could that one be at? And then you realize, oh, it's in the Nightfalls. And then you go over there and it's like, oh yes, there it all is. I ended up just saying, nope, not going to do that. And just put all the, you know, all the Catwomans together, all the whatevers together. And just said, if someone wants to open these up in the future and read them, and they get to the end of Batman, Agent of the Bat, and it says, to be continued in Catwoman 27. Now I can go find my Catwoman 27, open it up, and read it in there.
You are just literally right now that Bernie meme where he's like, I'm just standing before you once again telling you to read digital comics.
Yes, exactly. Okay, Boomer. Oh, wait, that's the other person.
Anytime you have interconnected storylines, you have this problem. You know, when we go back to the 70s, and whenever we review a 70s comic, Rodrigo never fails to point out how much of the book is devoted to the simmering back burner plot line of, you know, here's something that never gets resolved in this collection because it's all about a plot that Norman Osborn is going to have in the next volume of Spider-Man. Yep. this is the kind of the reflection of that. Everything is here. Everything is all subsumed into one big giant narrative. So you don't have those long burning back burner plots, but you're also reading six books at a time and collecting a 400 page trade and just going, I love Batman, but 400 pages. Good Lord.
So there are some things that are a little weird between Batman Murderer and Batman Fugitive in that. Remember in the Robin books, there was this whole thing where his roommate was caught up in gambling and computer gambling, and he got kidnapped and the whole anarchy thing. And then not once in this entire Fugitive volume does Robin ever do anything at school or go and address any of those people that was in, that were in the first volume. So there are some of those things there. I'm sure they did. So there's some of that stuff there. This issue or this series really brings Checkmate into the forefront.
Yes. Sasha Bordeaux is in this building into what would eventually become the Brubaker. Is it Brubaker or is it Rucka?
I don't remember who did it.
I want to say it's one of those Rucka run of Checkmate.
Checkmate. Yeah. So there were a bunch of them. So by the time that Bruce Wayne is cleared, we find out who the real murderer is. Sasha Bordeaux mysteriously dies in prison, and she wakes up and she becomes the, is it the Black Bishop? Yes, the Black. Well, no, she doesn't start out as the Black Queen. She starts out as a bishop, I believe, eventually working her way up. By the time you hit the Checkmate series, she does become the queen of, I think it's the Black Queen, right?
Yes.
For Checkmate. And what do you guys think about Checkmate?
I like Checkmate up to a point. And that point is the point that I actually dislike any modern espionage group series, when they reveal that it was always corrupt from the very beginning. The idea of
Checkmate, like S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah. The idea of Checkmate as sort of a S.H.I.E.L.D. in the DC universe in the mid-80s worked for me. And back at the point when Amanda Waller was running Task Force X and Checkmate was sort of her counterpoint, it felt like it worked because Checkmate was this huge organization that was doing things in the, you know, in the background. But eventually it turned into Checkmate is evil. Checkmate works for Max Lord. Checkmate works for, you know, the bad
Brother
guy.
Yeah.
Well, Checkmate is corrupted by Luthor from within.
I think the thing that bothers me the most about Checkmate, especially in this era, by the time we hit the mid-90s,
and this is 2002.
Well, when Checkmate is, when Checkmate is being introduced and they start to move, this story forward, we see Checkmate popping up here and there. I think the thing that bothers me the most about, Checkmate is that everybody is a member of Checkmate, right? It's not just like some random guy, right? It's like, oh, Amanda Waller is in charge and here's, Max Lord and here is this guy and here's that guy and here's Captain Vertigo or Count Vertigo. And it's just like everybody's involved in Checkmate in one form or another, which then makes it more like Hydra, right? Where you don't know who is part of Checkmate and who's not. So I guess I thought the idea of Checkmate when it was really going on right here, I thought that that was interesting, but I kind of lost interest in the ongoing story pretty quickly, probably within 6 months of this series ending.
So 1 year later, Checkmate actually around 2006 or so was pretty awesome, but it quickly drove itself into the ground because the story that they were telling was once again, oh, corruption at the heart of the spy agency.
Yeah.
So this sets that up. This is just a couple of years before 52 and 1 year later and all that stuff. But I really feel like the idea of a Checkmate with people that we recognize works better. You know, like in this story, we get to a point where like, well, who killed Vesper Fairchild? Turns out it was Batgirl's daddy.
I would be fine if Checkmate was, you know, they set up a bunch of people that are like, oh, here are people that you will get to know. Like this guy that Batman keeps harassing in his apartment that he knows is a member of Checkmate, right? And kicks his computer out the window and everything. I would be fine if we start to learn people like that and the people that hired Kane to go in and assassinate Vesper. But what I really have a problem with is suddenly, oh, the head of this side of Checkmate is Amanda Waller, who's also in charge of Suicide, the Suicide Squad and Task Force X and all this other stuff. And then it's just like, okay, there everybody's involved and that doesn't make it interesting. I like Checkmate as this mysterious boogeyman operation that comes and does the things in the middle of the night and, you know, that's so high up that even Batman can't figure out who's in charge. I think that makes Checkmate interesting. Ashley, what about you? What are your thoughts on Checkmate?
I think Checkmate has had one good series. And then several sort of less effective series. And my issue with Checkmate is my issue with a lot of things in the DC universe, and they all kind of surround Batman vaguely. It's my issues with like Argus. It's my issue with anything Amanda Waller is basically in charge of. It's my issue with the Talons is, I'm not interested in not even the narrative of like, this was corrupt all along, but like, this was here all along.
Right.
And you just were too stupid to know about, like, there's just something about that really turns me off. And I just think it's because we've seen it so many times. I actually think as it appears in this story, I think they're fine, but they're just never my favorite thing. And honestly, if there's like a listener out there who wants to advocate for why they are awesome, I am here for it because I remain unconvinced.
Yeah, drop us an email, podcastmajorspoilers.com. Share us your whole thesis, and we'll either invite you on the show to do a talk up Checkmate or read your email or whatever it may be in an upcoming episode.
And show your work.
Well, yes, and so that means citations, et cetera. So Bruce Wayne Fugitive. Mm-hmm. I liked it, question mark. I mean, I enjoyed it for what it is, and I very much enjoyed it at the time when it came out. But I think with time and distance, this is too much comic, right? This is something that you're going to have to pick up and read occasionally and still remember what's going on. And really, I think you should read Murder and Fugitive all in, you know, all together. But I think you need to break it up. I think you need to break it up into chunks. I mean, this is, you know, 48 issues of comics crammed in here that you're going to have to read. It's good. I don't think it's great. I think if you want to get into the argument of is Bruce Wayne a mask, this book, these two books together tell you that entire argument and then lets you make up your choice, or actually they force it down your throat by the end. But I think that for those people that want to have that argument, I think you need to read these two books, Murder and Fugitive. So bottom line for me, maybe borrow it, digital comic it. You know, it's relatively inexpensive. It's interesting reading. It's got a lot of stuff in there. It's, you know, like I said earlier, 700 pages, 400 pages for $16. That's quite a deal. So it is a bargain, but be prepared for a deep, deep dive into some comics. Matthew, final thoughts from you.
Stay with me on this. This story is going to tell you something very important about Batman Fugitive, if you let me finish it. Back in the 90s in Salina, Kansas, there used to be a truck stop called Grandma Max's. And Grandma Max's had a challenge with the Grandma Max's Max Burger, which is 5 pounds of beef on basically an entire loaf of Hawaiian bread. And if you could eat that hamburger in less than an hour, including the bun, you got it for free. You got a t-shirt and you got your face put up on a piece of, on the wall. They took a Polaroid of your head. Now, I did finish the Grandma Max's Max Burger Challenge, and I ate that 5 pounds of beef. And I did it young in my life to where it didn't kill me. But here's the thing. If you ask me, do you remember eating that burger? I will tell you yes, because I did. But if you ask me if that burger was any good, I'm going to say, mow. And that's how I feel about Bruce Wayne Fugitive. It's 400 pages of Batman. So for everything that I'm like, oh, that was neat. Christmas Allen doing cool stuff. Oh, that's a really great, Balland Bat cover with Azrael doing the kicky kick. Ooh, there's a moment of dialogue from Tim Drake that's just epic and iconic. At the end of it, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm full of cheeseburger, and I can't tell you whether it's a positive or negative experience. And so My recommendation is to eat your cheeseburgers in smaller chunks so that they won't leave you this flattened at the end of the process. So once again, the quality of the material is there. The presentation, the collection, the way it's being handed to me by DC really left me with a kind of a negative feeling at the end of Bruce Wayne Fugitive.
Ashley, final thoughts from you, please.
Bruce Wayne Fugitive is a journey. It is an epic undertaking. It is something that you will have to dedicate yourself to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a lot of time or you really freaking love any member of the Bat Family or any of the creators who have worked on this collection, I really do recommend it. And I'm deeply biased, and I stated my bias at the beginning. I like this book going into it. However, if any of those things turn you off, I can't recommend it to you in good conscience because it does not super transcend the continuity of the time. It's not really interested in folding in new readers. When it's good, it's really good. When it is less good, it is a bit of a slog. But I like this book a lot, and I own it. And it's one of those ones that sometimes Mr. Jason Min says, we should get rid of that. And I say, no. So that's where I come down.
There you go. Well, no, that's good.
Murderer.
No, I have all the original issues on this, and I have no intention of getting rid of them at any time soon.
Because no one will buy them.
I don't know.
If you sold it as a run, you could probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, you actually would get decent money.
I could sell 50 Batman books all in a group, and it'll sell. I'll slip those in there for him. So. There you
go. It's Brubaker and, who's the guy who draws with him on Criminal?
Phillips?
Yeah, Brubaker and Phillips do at least one issue together in this connection.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, dear listener, that wraps up issue 897. Man, what a wild ride it has been. So many ups and downs and highs and lows and bells and dogs and hamburger stories and all these things. But I want to say thank you for listening and being part of the Major Spoilers experience.
We love your bat feedback. So use the bat comments section at Major Spoilers to share your bat thoughts and bat reactions to this bat episode.
Or even better, you could email us at podcast@majorspoilers.com.
And don't forget, you can support this show and everything we do by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. And we will be back next week for issue 898 when we go back to hell. Oh, because it's Halloween. That's actually one that's going to line up for once. Hey, hooray!
Wait, no, Halloween was canceled.
We know you love
not
comics.
In my city.
We do too.
If I had the X-ray vision of Superman, I could save a few bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the stand. But although every other page would be backwards, I suppose, I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic bookstore guy knew, he kicked my butt out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Think about a better way. If I was hulking green or gray, I could just bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little me would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you ever tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would I back and board my comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. If I'm Stark Raven, rich like a man of iron, might not be surprised to find that I might actually have the heart cold to follow an entire storyline. But would I really even need to read up on all those escapades? I mean, who needs such distractions when your sister's such a babe? But the downside is such a beast. Being shot up in a fun bee in the Middle East with a King Santo and soldier. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. Whoa, 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 whoa. What a major spoiler.
This podcast is copyright 2020 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92%? Because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only. Right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.